Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Malachi. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song.
With the trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout out joy before the name of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills ring out. With joy before the Lord, who comes to judge here.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The second reading is from 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of the Lord. Every once in a while, there's a reading that I hear where the response is supposed to be, thanks be to God. And I find myself saying it with a question mark instead of in the declarative. Lucille agreed to meet for a video session. She had received the list of questions ahead of time. At her age and with some of the health concerns that she had, she knew that she needed a plan for her answers. It was getting harder and harder for her to pull information forward on command. She also knew that her experience teaching Bible study, especially the Bethel Bible series, would serve her well. When the camera started to roll and the interviewer asked those questions, she reached deep into her rehearsed answers, and with each question, it was a bit like a jog that felt a lot like a sprint to get those words out. In the end, her responses were beautiful and eloquent articulations of her faith. They became a legacy, not just for that congregation who would hear them during the Lenten Wednesday worship services, but later, her pastor would share the raw footage with her family. In the end, she had to trust that Jesus would give her the words. There are a variety of times where faithful people everywhere witness to their faith. In times of that are difficult, remembering one's faith, rehearsing one's faith, articulating one's faith becomes an important practice. Faith remembered, rehearsed, and spoken becomes a touchstone that empowers endurance. Jesus knew that the faithful people of every age would encounter challenge. Sometimes the challenge comes in devastating and frightening events in creation. Sometimes people must confront challenge from social and political and even religious powers and authorities. There are times when people must articulate their faith not only by what they say, but by what they do. Today, the church hears Jesus' promise that in those difficult times, he is present. Jesus promises that I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents can withstand and contradict. His accompaniment empowers the faithful, you and me, to live confident that we are not alone in these challenges and difficulties. With that promise comes the ultimate promise of eternal life and of salvation. Jesus says, "But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Today, this congregation celebrates with another young member who at the early service made affirmation of baptism. And in addition, St. Andrew's welcomes 5 households into relationship through Christ. Each in their own way bears witness to their faith. And now, as the season of stewardship continues, let us hear from the Congregation Council.
For these past weeks, we've been focused on what our weekly scripture readings have to say to us about the characteristics of a good steward. And today's scriptures remind us of the importance of rules, that a good steward is obedient and disciplined. A good steward is one who lives by rules and practices that reflect that they understand and take seriously the responsibility to care for what God has entrusted to them. One of these rules and disciplines is the tithe, which we see in today's lesson from Malachi. Today's lesson comes essentially right after the prophet has reminded the people of the importance of their maintaining their covenant relationship with God by bringing their tithes to the temple. The tithe is the idea, of course, of returning one-tenth of one's produce as an offering. In the Jewish tradition, of course, this rose to the level of law, the Jew's obligation in response to God's covenant. An observant Jew was expected not to offer one tithe, but three. One for the support of the Levite priests, a second for the support of the temple and the religious festivals at which the faithful gathered, and a third for the support of the poor. In our American Christian tradition, our thinking is often reflective of broader notions of liberty, both religious and political, and we like to focus more on how God's grace frees us rather than talking about or acknowledging any sense of how it binds us. We talk of how the Christian gives voluntarily, without compulsion, and with the guidance of the Spirit, both as to how much we give and to whom we give it. We like focusing on the freedom part. Yet Paul's letters consistently emphasized to the early Christians and to us that giving is to be a routine, a ritual part of the Christian's discipline. That this discipline, like Bible study, prayer, worship, sharing our faith, helps us to remain steadfast in our relationship with God. In particular, it helps us and reminds us to remain thankful. Like regular exercise helps us to run, and like regular study helps us to think and learn, disciplined giving enables us to be generous and thankful when it matters. This is a lesson that I learned in a deeply personal way. As a newly minted lawyer 35 years ago, I was invited by a friend to take on a pro bono client, who I'll call Faye. She was a 35-year-old woman who worked on an assembly line job. She was separated from her abusive husband. She and her three children, including a 17-year-old daughter who was pregnant, had been living for several months in a shelter run by a local Presbyterian church. Before their separation, her husband had run up $25,000 of personal debts in both of their names and had squandered the money through drinking and gambling. My friend asked me to help Faye file for bankruptcy so that she could get out from under the debt that her husband had created, so that the church could get her into transitional housing that would allow her to remain at her job and to keep her children. I met her when she came to my office with all of her financial records in a shoebox, and we went through them to prepare the paperwork. And as I was finalizing her monthly budget and expenses, she asked me, "Where in the papers do I talk about what I give to my church?" I showed her where that information would go on the form, and she handed me her checkbook. Because she depended on overtime to feed her children, each of her paychecks was for a different amount, and each one was faithfully entered in her checkbook register. And the very next entry in that register, each and every month, was a check to her church for exactly 10% of the amount of her paycheck. Those of you who know me know that I am never at a loss for words, but I sat there completely stone-faced and silent. I was simultaneously awed by her generosity and yet thinking to myself, you can't afford to do this. When the silence began to make her uncomfortable, she said to me, "I know what you're thinking, and I know from where you sit, it doesn't look like I have very much to be thankful for. But I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a good job. I have my health, my church, my kids. And I don't want to forget those blessings just because times are hard right now." Nearly 35 years later, I remember the deep sense of awe that I felt in the face of faith that profound. I wanted to have faith that deep. And that moment became the foundation of my own spiritual discipline of tithing, which I've maintained ever since. And I remain grateful to this day for faith's profound witness to me that day. Next Sunday, between the services at 9:45, we'll gather as a community in the fellowship hall to bring our commitments of time, talent, and treasure to present them for the support of our ministries here at St. Andrew's next year. We'll share great food and fellowship, and we'll celebrate with the saints of St. Andrew's as we come to the close of the church year and look forward to the next. May our gifts obediently and boldly reflect our confidence that God will keep God's promises to us.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.